Romans chapter 8, you know, the verse that we looked at the last time that we were together is verse 28. And verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." We know that. That's what we learned. Hopefully you haven't forgotten that as you went into the week and everything seemed to fall apart around you. You just kept quoting the verse, "And we know," as the building's collapsing around you. We know that all things work together for good to them who are called according to the Lord. To them who are called according to His purpose. To those that love God and called according to His purpose. Now, look what we read the next verse. "For whom He," verse 29, "did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, here we go. Oh, no. There's the word that Christians seem to dislike. Predestinate. Oh, you mean to tell me I have no choice? I got to go to heaven? Like heaven is such a really bad place. You skipped a word. And that's what people do when they read their Bibles. They skip a word and pick out the words they hate. But the Bible says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate." Now that changes the whole thing, doesn't it? See, God is big. And He knows everything. Now you say, "I know that, man. I've been a Christian now and I know God knows everything." Oh no, you missed it. He knows everything. And He has known it since before you were born. If you can think that far back. He has known it always. The Bible says, "Before the foundation of the world." That means before the world was even created in the universe and all that's in it. Before creation, God knew everything. Now, when you sin, many times your reaction is, "I can't believe I said that." God can believe it. He knew you were going to say it since eternity past. I mean, I sometimes I'll do something, I go, "Why did I do it? What's wrong with me?" And I picture God going, "Bob, will you?" But He doesn't even get up. He doesn't even get off the throne. He stays on the throne. He's not shocked. He's not surprised. Why? Because He knows it. Let's put it in American. Let's just get down to where you and I live. If you knew the numbers that were all going to be chosen to win the lottery next week, if you just knew them, "I know what they are." Well, then you wouldn't be gambling at all, would you? Do this when you mean yes, and this when you mean no. You wouldn't be gambling, would you, if you knew the numbers? No, you wouldn't. I'll answer it for you, you stubborn you. No, you wouldn't. It's not gambling. But just because you knew the numbers, and they were the numbers, does that mean you went down and beat up that woman, pulling them out of the box, and made her pick the ones you wanted? No. See, foreknowledge doesn't take away free will. Meaning, it's still your problem. It's still up to you. You got a decision to make today. God created angels before He created you. And He created those angels knowing what Satan would do. Knowing that although Satan was created perfect, that there would be iniquity found in him. God knew it and still created him. See, from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was slain. That means in our language, before the world was created, God already had the plan to crucify His only begotten Son, to kill Him so that you could have life. He knew that Satan would rebel and get kicked out of heaven. He knew that one-third, approximately, of the angels were going to go with Him. And He still let them make their choice. I talked about, if those of you that were here, do you remember I mentioned that master chess player? You don't remember that, huh? I was going to use that. That master chess player who knows all those openings, all those closures. And then you got that guy who can't remember which way the horse hops. He can't remember. Do you call this a rook or do you call it a castle or do you call it a knight or what do you call it? Just call it a day. I just want to see if you're listening. Sorry. You know, you can play and you're not very good at it against the master. And you can make any move you want, can't you? And he still beats you bad. How come? He's the master. Now, I realize that that little analogy breaks down. All earthly analogies break down. But don't you understand the point? You see, God knew when I was going to accept Jesus. He knew, May the 4th, 1973, that I would go forward at a Billy Graham crusade, and Billy Graham couldn't be there. It's been my life story since, too. It was a Billy Graham crusade, and Billy couldn't make it. We were on the island of Guam, so Grady Wilson spoke, one of his associates. And because I wouldn't accept Jesus Christ in front of four sailors in my room there in the barracks, because I told them, I'm embarrassed. I don't want to get on my knees in front of four men. Men don't do that. Because I wouldn't do it in front of four. God says, well, then let's take you in front of 8,000. I'm still trying to learn, you know. But God knew it. You see, God knew it before the world was formed. He knew what day I would come to. And what does the verse say? Did you notice what we're talking about here? Whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. He made sure he knew I was going to come to him. And so he had predestined me to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. But I had to make the decision. But really, it was the Holy Spirit. Confusing, isn't it? You see, and by the way, whenever you read about going to hell, whenever you read about suffering, whenever you read about separation from God, you never find the word predestined anywhere. Think about that a second. You say, you mean I'm predestined to go to hell? No. Do you want to go to hell? First, do you believe in hell? You say, well, yeah. Do you want to go there? No. Well, then all you have to do is come to Jesus Christ now. You've got a choice. Move that. Go ahead and move that castle. Go ahead and make your move. God knows what move you're going to make. He knew it before you were born. He knew it before the world was formed. And those of you that he knew would come to his son, the Bible says he predestined you to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it. He started a work in me. He's going to finish it. My responsibility? Check. He says, make your calling and election sure. You should always be sure that you belong to him. You say, well, how do I be sure? Don't be going backwards. Because in a backslidden condition, you can't be sure what condition you're in. Don't be disobedient. Because in disobedience, you can't really say, I am my beloved's and he is mine. You can't really. I talk to people quite often. They say, I'm backslidden. I say, why? Well, this no. I don't want to know details. I want to know why you haven't. At the moment you said it, you just didn't go, whoa, stupid, stop. Not that you would call yourself stupid. How many times have I talked to people? They say, I haven't been to church in 4 or 5 years, and I haven't been reading my Bible, and I haven't been praying. And I say, are you born again? They say, yes. But I'm backslidden. And I look at them and say, then stop it right now. Let's just pray. Let's just kneel down right now, or let's just bow down and pray. Stop it. You have a choice to make. What are you going to do? I have no choice. You got a choice. Stop it. Don't whine. Pegging the wham meter. Wah! Stop it. You've got a solid, serious choice you need to make. Now, you can't make it on your own. It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit. But you yourself have to. You're going to have to do something today. You got to make a choice. Hebrews 12:2 says, we should be looking unto Jesus, the author and what? Finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the author and the finisher. He has begun a work in you, and is faithful to complete it. But it has to start, and it has to start with you accepting Jesus Christ into your heart. Psalm 138, another psalm, verse, memorize the whole psalm, but another verse that you should have memorized. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect. That word means, not to cough, it means to make complete or to bring to a finish. The Lord will make complete or bring to a finish that which concerns me. Do you hear that? Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. David is saying, you made me. Don't leave me like this. Hey, don't you know that feeling? Have you been there? Lord, you made me. You saved my life. Don't leave me like this. Change my heart. The Lord will bring to a finish or make complete that which concerns me. He has begun a good work in you, is faithful to complete it. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 7 and 8. What a healthy. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, verse 8, shall confirm you. That means establish you, make you firm, make you sure. Who shall establish you, make you firm, make you sure unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read it to you again. Verse 29 of Romans 8. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Remember, that means just as if I'd never sinned. He justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Notice again, we have a completion of the project. God started a work in me, he will complete the project. He started a work in you, he will complete the project. Now, if you say, but I'm in sin. Well, stop it. But I can't. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But you've got a choice to make. And don't complain if you lose the chess game. He made me do those moves. No, he didn't. You had a choice. You thought about it. That's the move you made. And it got you busted. But God knew you were going to make it. What I like about God is now that I'm his, he lets me make any chess move I want. He still corners me and kind of gets me to go that way. Oh, I'll go that way. God goes, good choice. Because it's what he's doing in my life. I have a promise from him. All I got to do is walk. And if I just listen to him, just walk with him. The Bible, I'm going to paraphrase. The Bible says, man flips the coin and God decides whether it's head or tails. The steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord. You start walking. You can't steer a parked car. You can turn it on and run the air conditioning or the heater and you can just turn it and all those wheels move. But when you can't steer it until it is literally moving either forward or backward. You don't want to go backward, you're in trouble. You start moving forward even if it's just coasting. Now, it can be steered. You walk in with the Lord, he will bring it to completion. But you got to be going. Don't stop. There's no stopping in Jesus Christ. You're either going forward or you are going backward. And if you would like to read about the armor that you put on, it doesn't protect your back. You need to be going forward. Now we read this. What shall we say then to all that? Okay, what about these things? And what should be our statement about these things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? God is on your side. Would you like to write that down? Would you like to remember it? Would you like to know? God is for me. He loves you. He is on your team. Quit trying to fight with him and second guess him and trick him into working things out for you. He loves you and he's working things out now. He is for you. But see, if God be for us, who could be against us? The answer is Satan and his demons could be against us. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. To devour means to chew up and to swallow, to destroy. Satan is wanting to destroy you. If God be for us, who could be against us? Satan and his demons. That's why the Bible goes on to say, well, but it is God that justifies. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And the thought is all good things. God gave his most precious son that you might live. What more does he have to do to prove to you that he cares about you? He will give you every good thing. How do you know? Because he even let his own son be put to death. He stopped Abraham. Don't lay your hand on your son. Now I know that you are willing. But you see, God didn't stop himself. And from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was crucified. Before the world was even formed, there was a plan to save mankind, and there was no such thing as mankind yet. He loves you. What are you doing about it? Saying, I don't care. This is how I feel. This is how I think. I want more. I don't care. Wait a minute. You better stop and make some decisions based on what you know the Word of God says. Not how you feel, because your feelings are going to change. You've been on a roller coaster. You know, you're up at the top, everything's going really slow. You feel that slow pull, and you're getting up there, and you're thinking, this ain't so bad. Not so bad. Wah-ha! And there we go. And some of you are on the way down screaming, saying, I don't like this. I want off. Hey, you got your ticket. And then just when you think, all right, I can handle this, all right, and you are ready to go to the right, and that thing tricks you and jerks to the left, and then your neck, and you think, I don't like this Christian walk. I've changed my mind. I don't care about hell. Maybe I'll go. It's got to be better. I am miserable. I am worthless. I am suffering. I just want to be happy. No, you don't. Because what you think is going to bring you happiness is going to run a sword through your soul. God gave you his son. And he will also, if you know he gave his best, you know he'll give you anything else. Like I mentioned it this way. I said, if you give your children $10,000 a month for allowance, if you do, come see me. If you $10,000 a month for allowance, and then they come to you and say, I don't have any money with me now. You know, Dad, can I have a quarter? Chump change. Here. You wouldn't say, hey, I gave you 10, you stupid, you little worm, you eat dirt. No, you wouldn't. If you're willing to give him that kind of stuff, God was willing to give you his son, his only begotten son. Aren't you convinced now of his love for you? And he would give you any good thing. That's what the Bible says. Now, we go on and read this. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now notice, first of all, the question was, if God be for us, who can be against us? The answer is, you know, Satan can, but he's going to get nowhere. See, nobody, even the angels, can oppose believers successfully. Nothing and nobody can successfully. God is too big. If you've ever read through the book of Isaiah, remind yourself, Isaiah chapter 40. God is too big for anyone or anything to oppose a true believer. Can't be done. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? And since God gave the greatest sacrifice of all, you know he will give you all good things. Our problem is we decide, well, this is good. God, I'm going to do this. I want to do this. And God just calmly says, no. Well, it's good in your opinion. But we're not going with your opinion. We're going with mine, God says. Well, here's what's best. I ought to slap old what's his name. And God says, no, that's not good. And there's a way that seems right unto a man, the Bible says, but the end thereof lead to death, destruction. So you may think you're seeing it clearly, but it's always wise to take God at his word. See, he loves you. He's not going to withhold any good thing from you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Once again, you know who could? Satan. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. He's the accuser of the brethren. Who shall lay any charge? How can anybody bring any charges against God's elect? Well, Revelation, Satan the accuser. Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Read Job chapters 1 and 2. He's right there and he's saying, Job, what a loser. Now Satan comes before God and talks about you. And he accuses you. And the question is, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? In other words, how will anybody bring any charges against the elect? By the way, when Satan brings charges against you there in the throne room in heaven, when he brings charges against you, do you know that those charges are literal and they are right? He's not lying. It's true. He comes up and he says, well, God, that Bob, he's a loser. He's sinned. He has come short of your glory. He no way deserves heaven and he deserves hell. He should go there. If I got to go to hell, Satan says, well, Bob certainly deserves it. He has sinned. And God doesn't say, oh, no, he hasn't. What a nice kid. No, you know what God says? My son died in his place. The price has been paid. And so the question, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The answer, it is God that justifies. If Satan accuses you today in heaven, that accusation is true. That accusation is usually right on. Satan might say, I've been watching her, man. She doesn't love you. I've been watching her. She's got no heart. She's thinking about running out and doing this. And I've been watching her. But God says, if you are truly born again, God says, that sin has been paid for by my son. I gave my most precious son. It is covered. It is finished. God himself justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, verse 34. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Hey, if Satan's trying to condemn, God just simply says, Jesus Christ paid the price. And Jesus himself makes intercession for you right there at the throne of God. So, the question, it's God that justifies. It's Jesus Christ that makes intercession for us. Then who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything at all, or anyone at all, that can separate us from the love of Christ? And he lists, so shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's Psalm 44 he quotes out of. Can tribulation separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation literally means trials or afflictions. You going through any trials right now? Maybe some affliction, maybe some physical affliction, sicknesses. You going through them right now? Can that separate you from the love of Christ? If you are truly his? How about distress? Distress literally means a narrow, tiny little place. Are any of you in that? That means being squeezed, being pressured by hardships. Sometimes we say dire straits, even mental anguish. You're going through that. Can that separate you from the love of Christ? He says persecution. Persecution, literally being pursued to your own harm or being violently treated because you are a believer. Even being fired or mistreated or misused because you are a Christian. Can that separate you from the love of Christ? Famine, that's an easy one. Shortage of food, hunger, even to the point of starvation. We have brothers and sisters in the African Horn there at Somalia, Ethiopia, Sudan, that whole area up there. Millions, they say maybe 15 million will starve over the next year or so. Millions they expect to be starving over the next few months. And they are Christians. Can that separate them from the love of Christ? Nakedness is simply, literally, the lack of proper clothing. Peril means any sort of danger. Anything that is risky or hazardous. Can any sort of danger any sort of dangerous situation, can that separate you from the love of Christ? And the final one is sword. Sword represents what? Physical death. Being chopped up. Physical death. Can physical death, some of you have illnesses that unless God chooses to heal them, you're going to get to go home before some of us others. That's what it looks like. That's physical death. Can that separate you from the love of Christ? Well, here's the answer. No. Verse 37. No. Not tribulation, not distress, not persecution, not famine, not nakedness, not peril, not sword. No. In all these things, every one of them, and Paul experienced them, in every one of them, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. More than conquerors, literally super conquerors, or abundantly prevailing over. We abundantly prevail over. We are super conquerors over all our trials and afflictions, over all the dire straits, the pressures, the hardships, the mental anguish, over all the violent treatment just because we're Christians, or all the harm, all the shortage of food, the hunger, the starvation, all the lack of proper clothing, all the dangers and the risky and hazardous things that happen to us in our life, and even the physical death that we will experience. None of those things separate us from the love of Christ. We are more than conquerors over all those things through Him. You are not more than a conqueror if you are outside of Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ. That's another choice you've got to make. You say, well, I want life. I want to go to heaven. I want to see eternity. Then there's only one way to do it. You must turn from your own ways, your own choices, your own ideas, and you must come to the living God and say yes to His Son. It's that simple. You don't have to become a missionary in Peru. You don't have to be beaten and tortured. You don't have to give everything and all your stuff and all. You don't have to take any kind of vows. All you got to say is yes to Jesus. That's all. But it's a choice you're going to have to make. We can't say yes for you. You can't say yes for me. I love the Lord, but I just am not going to do what He says. There is a question then, isn't there? I love the Lord, but I'm in the middle of something right now that I can't deal with, and I'm going to handle it my way. Then there is a question, isn't there? And you got a choice to make. And if God loved you so much, or since He loved you so much, that He gave His precious Son, His only begotten Son, then don't you think He's going to do whatever else He can do on your behalf? And He's big and can do anything. Don't you believe that He will move all in your favor if you will simply submit your life? I didn't say He would do it your way. That's what we want. I'm a Christian. I want my life to be better. And so, Lord, here's what's going to make it better. If you do that, then I'll follow you. No. You rub the lamp, God comes out, all right, I want to win the lottery. And God says, you got it, master. Poof, there it is. And He gets back in the thing, stick Him on your belt, and when I need you again, I'll rub and go. Don't call me. I'll bring you out. Now get out of the way. Now I want to do this. Got nothing to do with you, man. So I don't rub the lamp, don't need your help. But when I need your help, when I'm in trouble, I go, why did you let this happen to me? Rub that old lamp, come out of there. All right, dude, you know what I need now? New shoes. Poof, there they go. All right, get back in the little thing. Then who's in charge if that's your Christian walk right now? He's not in charge. He is not master. He's the little genie in the lamp. You're the master. He's the little follower, and He does whatever you think. Oh, hey, jump! And He says, how high on the way up? I'm doing things my way. Then you're not doing things God's way. Period. And you got some decisions to make. And by the way, probably if you look at the chessboard, you're being beaten. And you thought you were pretty good at chess. Think about it. He loves you. We read this now. I am persuaded. The word means convinced or confident. And it's in the aorist tense. I know you wanted to know that. That means not only is it happening now, but it is a continuous happening. So I am convinced and constantly being convinced, persuaded. And what am I being constantly persuaded of? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now the question is, do you believe that? Death can't separate us from God, and that's physical death. Life can't separate us from God. Daily physical existence, that can't separate us from God. Angels, they're bigger than us, smarter than us, more powerful. They cannot separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Rulers would be authorities, principalities in the heavenly places, probably demon activities. They cannot separate you. Satan can't separate you from the love of God. He can't. And the angels that work with him, they can't. Things present. Now there's where Christians say, I got a problem with that one. See, things present means things that are happening to you right now. Things that are present. Well, I just don't feel the Lord's presence. I don't know if He loves me. I don't know if it... I mean, the things are so bad and so black and so dark and so oppressive. I don't feel God's love, and I think He's abandoned me, and I'm going to do this. And this is what I'm going to... Wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say that the very things that are going on right now in your life cannot separate you from the love of God? And then, if that's not enough, then things to come. And literally that means things that are about to be, or things that are ready to take place, things that are coming. We can't see around the corner. We don't know what the future holds. But the things that are happening to me now cannot separate me from God and from His love. And the things that are going to happen to me, and see, I don't even know what they are yet. God only knows what's coming tomorrow. And what kind of calls I'll get and what's going to be happening to me. I don't know, but I know that it cannot separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. How are you at peace? Nothing can get to you. The things that are going on right now, they're designed to strengthen you, or even if the enemy designs them to destroy your life. Remember, all things work together for good. So you don't panic. You'll wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Also, height and depth. Powers would be those who have authority over, or those with power over others. Could be angelic hosts, could be government. No kind of powers can separate you. And then height and depth. That's that which is elevated in high positions, that which is really deep down and low. None of those things can separate you. And finally, the Bible says, or any created thing. Now, I'd like to ask you something. How much has been created? I'll tell you the answer. It's a tough one. Everything. Everything. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were not created. God has always been and always will be. But you see, He's created everything else. Now, here's another question, and this gets a little tricky, and people don't like this one, but answer it honestly. Are you a created being? Are you sure? There's a couple of questioning looks like, I don't know. All right, for those of you that don't know, you are. You're a created being. Now let me read to you what the Bible says. I am convinced, I am confident, I am persuaded continually that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if you're a created thing, you were included in that, weren't you? Think about that for a moment. What you're going through right now may not be very pretty. And I don't mean to minimize what you're going through, but I'm going to tell you something that usually shocks people. What you're going through now, many people have already been through. They've already been through it. Some of them did it God's way. to bring him praise and honor and glory. Some of them didn't. To bring shame and even more suffering. But everything I go through, there's nothing new under the sun. Somebody's been through that before. And everybody's got a choice of how they want to deal with it. But you can know this, if you belong to God and you are saying, I just want to serve him. First of all, he loves you and he has given you his son. That's enough right there, isn't it? That's proof to you that he cares so much about you. And he's not just going to give you his most precious and then hold out anything else. If he's willing to give his son, you know he's willing to give anything that's good. And you say, what I'm going through right now is hard, man, and I don't know what to do or where to turn. Turn to God who loves you. Turn to the one who has given you his word. He said, nothing is going to separate you from my love. And if I love you, you know I'm going to take care of you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am there with you. No matter how difficult, no matter how frightening, no matter how confusing, no matter how painful, I am with you. You call out to me. Nothing will separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You notice we keep coming back to the fact that you must be born again. Some of you have never accepted Jesus Christ. Really? You've only been sort of just saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. I do that. Wait a minute. Have you ever asked him to come into your heart? Have you ever turned and simply said, I want to walk your way? His Holy Spirit gives you the strength to do that and to ask Jesus into your life. If you never have, as we praise, as we worship, take a moment. Say, Lord, I want to repent. I want to turn your way. And I want Jesus Christ into my heart. I know he's the Son of the living God. Some of you are Christians, but you are in the midst of disobedience. You've turned and you've gone your own way. If you're truly saved, know that nothing will separate you from the love of God. But if you're truly saved, you are going to want to do his word. There will be a desire in your heart to do it his way, even if it means humiliation and suffering and pain, sorrow of all sorts. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. He's my God. Isn't that what the song says? My Father's God, and I will exalt him. He is God, and he is good, and he's the one I should listen to and follow.